Wednesday the 8th of August, Rabbi Yonason Hughes, Rabbi Chaim Brisker's analysis of a Roda. Let's get to grips with a fundamental Mishnah, which appears in Ohalos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vov. The Mishnah reads as follows. Ha'isha shehi maksha leilid, machatchen es havlad b'me'el, u'moitzin oisoi eivorim eivorim. Translating as, a woman who is in the pangs of birth, who is giving birth to a child, and the birth is causing her danger to the extent that her life is at risk. Din is that we can intervene, we can medically intervene, and we may chop up, literally, the vlad within her, we can end the life of the fetus, and we can pull the fetus out, avorim avorim, limb by limb. Why? Because her life takes precedence over the life of the fetus. Chayel Kogman. With the following caveat. Yotso Ruboy. Once the majority of the blood is to the light of the world, Ein Noigein Boy. We are not allowed to touch the fetus. We cannot intervene in this way. She'ein doichen nefesh mipnei nefesh. We cannot push aside one life for the sake of preserving another life. So we have two different halachas. What's the tam behind this Mishnah? Every Mishnah has a din. And every Mishnah has a principle working behind the din. What's the principle here? I would have thought, to begin with, that the principle is quite simple. It's a case of pekuach nefesh. It's a case where we are enabled and allowed by halacha to push aside something which is of value in order to preserve life. We are not allowed to choose whose blood is redder once the fetus's head is out, and therefore we arrive at the logical and famous limitation of pekuach nefesh that we can no longer save life if that itself means that we have to end life by doing that saving. Thus we arrive at these two dinim. Before the fetus's head is out, we are able to end its life, because you're dealing with a full nefesh, the mother, as opposed to this baby, this fetus, which is some potential, but it doesn't actually equate to a full nefesh gomor, complete nefesh. That is what I would have thought. Once the head is out, we are dealing with two equal entities, two equal life forms, and therefore the natural limitation of pekuach nefesh is at work. And ein doichen nefesh mipnei nefesh.
It's more of a mother than the baby. The baby suffers. Too serious. You put three serious to get two serious.
But apparently, at that stage, it's considered a full nefesh. At that stage, sorry, Chaim, on that point. That's what I would have thought the gedder of this Mishnah is. Enter the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach for Shmiras Nefesh, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, states the following surprising interpretation: Af zu mitzvah lo sase, shenoy lechoyis al nefesh haroidev. This is also a negative commandment, not to have pity on the life of a roidev. Lefichok hoyu chachamim sheubrashi mak shalele muta lachpei for uba b'me'eho. Therefore, the chachamim gave a ruling, which we have enunciated, that a pregnant woman who is in the throes of birth, and the birth is causing her to be endangered, it's mutter to kill the fetus within her, bein b'sam, bein b'yad, whether with poison, whether with physical might, mipnei shehu koroideis acharei lahargo, because that fetus is akin to a roideis, a pursuer chasing after her, trying to exterminate her. Ve'im mishahitzi roishai, but once the head has appeared, ein noi gotin boy, we cannot touch the vlad, she'ein doisa nefesh mitli nefesh, v'zehu tivoi shaloilam. And the Rambam makes this addition, that it is considered the nature of the world, whatever that is. Therefore, we may not intervene at that post-birth stage. But pre-birth, it is mutter to kill the baby, to exterminate its existence. Why? Because it's a roideh. So surprisingly, this gedder, this new word on the scene, roidev, has appeared before our eyes. Why? we would have thought it was Pekuach Nefesh. That would have worked quite simply and neatly throughout the Mishnah. But the Rambam has given us a new term and seemingly is legally categorizing it in a different fashion. Let's start the analysis before we approach Rav Chaim Brisker's analysis of this problem. Two fundamental principles that we have mentioned so far. There's Pekuach Nefesh and there's Roibit. Famously in Yuma and Sadi Hey Ahmed Beis, Chazal Darshan the Potuk V'chai Bohem V'loi Shiyomis Bohem. We must live by the mitzvahs and we are not permitted to die by them. If a performance of a mitzvah means that one must sacrifice one's life, one is simply speaking not commanded to fulfill the mitzvah. Rather, one has to preserve himself. We see that the power of that din means that we can be doicha asurim. Shabbos can be pushed aside, Yom Kippur can be pushed aside, because we want to preserve life. Roidev, which appears in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, classically deals with two human beings. That one human being is encroaching upon the life of the other, and is about to end the other's life, and we are able to intervene and to preemptively put the Roidev to death in order to save the life of the Nirdaf, the pursued party. And fundamentally, that Mishnah is dealing with two human lives, not to be Doicha Isurim like the Pekuach Nefesh, but it has an extra power, an extra strength. What is that? To end human life for the sake of saving human life, not just pushing aside Yom Kippur and Shabbos, important though they may be. So we have two fundamental principles on the halakhic map at this point: the Pekuach Nefesh and Roidev. We would have understood the Mishnah in Oilus that is simply speaking about a case of Pekuach Nefesh, and that would be the underlying Gedder. But the Rambam comes along and slots in this new Loshen and categorization that the Uba is Koroidev Achare Lahurga. It's like a Roidev pursuing her. Enter a Pine Brisker who asks the following kasha. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ayin Beis Amud Beis, describes the case, the sefer of our Mishnah, describing the head, once the baby's head is to the light of the world, where we may not intervene, as a case of Mishamaya Korotfei Lo. Hashem is being the roidev here. Shemayim is being roidev for mother. And this, Rav Chaim says, is within the words of the Rambam, when he says, Tivoi Sheloilam. This is the nature of the world. This is Hashem, but running nature. And we cannot call the baby, once its head is out, a roidev. Rather, Hashem is the roidev. If that's so, pre-birth, before Yotzer Roishoi, before the baby has come out, how on earth can the Rambam classify this fetus as a roidev? It's even less morally responsible than when the head is out as a kal v'chomer. If already when the head is out the baby can't be described as a roidev, it's Hashem, so therefore when it's not even out, it's not even even an independent being, and it's within the womb of its mother, closed from the light of the world, kal v'chomer, it's not a roidev. So how can the Rambam call it a roidev?
Muksha.
Yep. So she's having a hard birth. But if I can call that a roidev, why can't I call it a roidev when its head is out? So we have an incomprehensible stira within the Mishnah, according to the Rambam. According to our initial thoughts, we would have thought that it's quite simple. The Pekuach Nefesh is running the show. That's the legal tool with which the Mishnah is living upon. But the Rambam is confusing. So Rav Chaim suggests that the Talmud should be quite simple. I've seen this in the Tshuvas of Rabbi Peter Eger. He also asked the Kasha that it should be a Mishnah about Pekuach Nefesh, nothing to do with Roidev. Why is the Rambam leading us astray? Chas v'shalom. So now we're going to have to delve into the analysis of Rav Chaim Brisker in order to reach an answer, and with this we are approaching legal dynamics, the governing underlying machinery as to the science of the Torah, how the Torah works, the legal categories involved, splitting hairs, etc. This is not a moral shear, this is a legal shear. What is the yesod of the Din of Roidish? What's it all about? Is it a chi of Misa on the Roidish? Or is it merely a tool to save life? It's a Din in Hatzolah. What is the main policy? What's the mission statement of this Din? To kill the Roidish? Or to save the Nirdaf? Rav Chaim concludes that it's clearly a Din in Hatzolah. Roidish is there to exterminate the life of someone pursuing someone else in order to save the life of the Nirdaf. It happens to be that we have to kill and end the life of the Roidish in order to do that. But that is merely a stepping stone to the real goal, the real target, which is to save life. The proof? Sanhedrin, a clear Gemara, Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, where we see that one is chayav misa if one kills the roid, if it was possible to kill him, maim him, in order to physically thwart his attack by injuring him. That is a preferable method. And if one goes overboard and kills him, one is actually chayav misa. So we see that the din of roid is not a din of culpability of the roid so much as it is a din in hatzolat hanuda.
I mean, we can say he's not chayav misa unless he is only be stopped by killing him. Otherwise, he's not chayav misa.
Right, that's the conclusion.
You're presuming that on the concept of Hatzim Lefoshah, even if you say that the man is chayav misa because he wants to kill, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you can stop him, maybe there's no din of chayav misa on him.
There isn't.
Yeah.
So the whole din of roidev is aimed at saving life, and if we can do it in a way of not killing the roidev. Give him the hate.
If it comes to the admin, he damages things by his pain.
This is beyond the scope of the share today. I'm sorry, I can't deal with all the questions. The Yesod Rav Chaim says is the Din of Hatzolah. The aim and the target of this notion of Roidish is to save life, not to kill life, not to kill the Roidish. And we have a clear proof from the Gemara. The second stage that we must approach, says Rav Chaim, is what is the extent of the Gezeiros HaKosov of Roidish? Once we know that the aim is to save life, what is the extent of this Chiddush that we can end life in order to save life? We know certainly that the license to kill comes from the Din of Roidish. The tool of Roidish, we can picture that in our eyes, is behind the killing of that Roidish. But what about the Hatzolah section? Saving the life of the mother in this instance. Is that a din in Roidish, or is that an application of the general klal of Pekuach Nefesh of Kol HaTorah Kula? Same. So, simply speaking, is Roidish doing one or two jobs? Is it killing the Roidish and saving the mother, or saving the Nirdaf? Or is it just allowing us to kill the Roidish? The Pekuach Nefesh is the legal tool with which we save the pursued party. Is it doing one or two jobs? We know the general aim is Hatzolah, but are there two legal tools at work or just one? Is Roidish totally independent, or does it always rely upon the Kuach Nefesh saving the day? The conclusion, that it does both. Rav Chaim says that we see that Roidish applies to Goyim as well, which Pekuach Nefesh never does. We cannot be Machal Shabbos in order to save a Goy's life. But we see that Roidish applies to Goyim. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Zion on the base. Number two, Roidish has learned from a Hekesh with Arias, with Gilui Arias. That's in Sanhedrin, I am Gimel Amud Aleph. And we see that the application of Roidish to Arias cannot be Pekuach Nefesh based, because in that case we are stopping Gilui Arias from happening by ending the life of the person who wants to do the Gilui Arias. So we're ending life to stop sin. Pekuach Nefesh is that we stop sin in order, we do a sin in order to save life. It's the complete opposite din. Therefore, from those two proofs, we see that the Gezeiras HaKos of Aroidif has a dual role. Number one, it exterminates. Number two, it saves. It's doing two jobs. And although this is difficult to sort of assimilate, I found this very difficult to assimilate when I first learned it, that we have to understand that halachas are tools. Halachas are like machinery which do specific jobs. And Roydik is doing two jobs. Number one, it's killing. Number two, it's saving. So now we've just to summarize, we've addressed two points of analysis. Number one, the yesod of the din of Roydik is to save the life of the nirdaf. It's not essentially and necessarily a din in exterminating the Roydik. If it can be done some other way, that's fine, that's preferable. Number two, Roydif not only exterminates the life of the Roydif, it also preserves the life of the Nirdaf. It's doing two jobs. If so, we can say that Roydif is a totally independent din, divorced and separate from Pekuach Nefesh. It doesn't rely on Pekuach Nefesh. It is independently operative. If that's all true, we're going to have to go back to our Mishnah and re-understand what's going on. A woman who is in the pangs of having a difficult birth, which will end her life if we don't intervene, we are able to intervene and kill the vlad within her. Why? Her life takes precedence. There is no mention necessarily of pekuach nefesh or roidev. This is open to interpretation, and this is what we're grappling with here. What's the gedder? What does the Rambam hold about the status of this infant? What is its legal status? Is it a nefesh? Is it a non-nefesh? Is it a chotzi shiur eches nefesh? Half measure quality. So we can morally debate it. The Rambam holds, says Rav Chaim, that it is a nefesh. We cannot ignore that this is a life form. It has all the potential to be a full neshama and a full human being. He brings two proofs from Yuma in Tzadi Hei on the base and Erech in Zayin Aleph that a fetus of this nature is at least the chlal v'chai bohem to the extent that it can't be nidche in the face of other priorities. In other words, we cannot kill the fetus in order to save another life. We may not be able to be machalel yontif, to be machalel shabbos, for the sake of this infant, but certainly it itself can't be pushed aside. It has that level of significance and chashivas that we want to protect it to that extent. So for the Rambam, Reb Chaim conclude, the fetus is a nefesh of some kind. Maybe not nefesh gomor, it's not a complete independent entity, but it is at the very least a life, just secluded within the cocoon of its mother's womb. Therefore, we're not going to be able to apply pekuach nefesh to end its life, because we've said there is a fundamental condition and limitation within the din of pekuach nefesh, the ein beisim nefesh mipnei nefesh, and this is in the sefer of our very Mishnah. The logical ending of pekuach nefesh is when we're up against another life. We can be doisa shabbos, we can be doisa yomtos, but we can't be doisa life. Miyema the damachsim of tzei. How do you know that your blood's redder than the other person's blood? Sanhedrin. These are fundamental principles. So pekuach nefesh has a limitation inherent within its mechanics. So therefore we're not going to be able to apply that claim. That's why the Rambam rejected it initially. We cannot use pekuach nefesh to license the termination of this fetus. So we're going to have to turn to a new legal department, the department of Roydif, which we've established is independent from pekuach nefesh and can operate without any help or aid from pekuach nefesh. And Roydif can sanction the death of the Roydif, whatever that Roydif is, and it can save the mother's life independently. And therefore we're not relying on the weaker tool, of Pekuach Nefesh, which can only go to the extent of stopping Shabbos or being Mechal Yom Tov in order to save life, that it can't end life to save life. So we're going to have to turn to Roidev. The only problem is that we still have to steer it in the Mishnah. Before the baby's head is out, we can end its life because it is a Roidev, says the Rambam. Shehu ko Roidev aferel lo hargo. That's in the second source in the handout. Third line down. Koroidev aferel lo hargo. It's like a Roidev. But when its head is out, ein doisen nefesh mipnei nefesh. We cannot push aside one life for another life. V'zehu tuboi shaloylam. And it's just the nature of the world. We can't intervene. How can we say that post-birth it's not a Roidev? And pre-birth it is a Roidev. If anything, it should be the other way around. Why should it be considered a Roidev? And now suddenly it's not a Roidev. Suddenly it's Hashem. So maybe using the tools, maybe using the steps that we've established and we've trodden on together, we can now start splitting the atom. The Yesoid, says Rav Chaim, to understand the Rambam's interpretation of our Mishnah and Ohel Ois is the following. There's such a thing as Roidev, but there are two component parts to that din. Number one, there's the Etzem Din Roidev. What does that mean? The existential fact physically in Metzius that one life form is attacking the other. That's the Etzem Din. I'd like to suggest that the definition of Reb Chaim's Etzem Din Roidev. Number two, there is another component of Roidev, not the Etzem Din, rather the Chiyuv of Roidev, the culpability. There are two separate building blocks to this skyscraper of Roidev. There are two essential different components, and they both operate when we say Roidev. Reb Chaim suggests that when the head of this fetus has reached the light of the world, and the din is we cannot intervene, in doichin nefesh mitmei nefesh, we cannot push aside one life for another, it's not that it's not a roidus in its etzem din, it's still physically and existentially is attacking the mother, it's in pursuit of the mother's life. In Sias it is, that's what we have to trust the camera. What does it look like? One entity is attacking the other. But, let me finish, sorry. Time is of the essence. But the fact that it is a roidev and it sets them in is still there. That is still extant on the map. It's just that status of roidev, with just the etzim din component, without the culpability section, is not powerful to override the klala of eindoisen nefesh mutli nefesh. But we can't choose his brother's blood is redder. And just because this fetus has the component of its etzem din, the fact is that it's pursuing the mother without any culpability, that is not a strong enough reason to decide which blood is redder than the other one and which life should live. But when we approach the previous case of the ubar before its head is out, it's not a nefesh gomer. And therefore, it can be nidcha, we can push aside the life of the fetus in order to save the mother's life by virtue of its etzem din roidev without the culpability, because we are more able and it is easier to override this din, this klal of ein doisen nefesh mitnei nefesh, because we're not dealing with a nefesh gomer against another nefesh gomer. We are dealing with a nefesh gomer, the mother, complete life form, against the fetus, which is a nefesh she'enoi gomer. It's not complete. It's a nefesh, but it's not complete. And therefore, it's not ein doichin nefesh, but ne nefesh. We don't have to apply that klal. It's not a nefesh and a nefesh. And therefore, just by virtue of it having the etzem din roidev, that is enough to license the death of the roidev, the fetus, and save the mother. The kruach nefesh won't be strong enough at all. But roidev, with only one of its components, the etzem din roidev, is sufficient. But when it heads out and it's considered a full life form, and Sorahi and Y at that stage it's considered full, but once its head is appearing and its majority is out, it's considered independent and a full Nefesh. Therefore the Klal of Ein Doisen Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh is reinstated. If the Klal is reinstated, then we're going to have a jolly good reason and a powerful reason in order to end its life. We're going to need both the Etzem Din Roideh, the physical existential fact that you are being Roideh, and number two, the Chiyuv of Roideh, the culpability section. We're going to need a Tziruv, a combination of both those components of Roideh, to have a fully fledged hammer to blast away this Klal of Ein Doisen Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. And to summarize, we seem to, what Chaim seems to be doing here is establishing three separate stages of halachic activity. To save a life against a non-life form. Nefesh against non-nefesh. Pekuach nefesh is the tool that we use. We can be doicha shabbos, which is not a nefesh, to save life. A nefesh she'ein oigomo, like this fetus in the ratio of our Mishnah, the Vlad, in the womb of its mother, which is the ending, which is trying to kill the mother's life. A nefesh she'ein oigomo, the etzem din of roideh will have to be used. We'll have to use an element of roideh, but we only require the etzem din roideh, the fact, the physical, visible, demonstrable fact that this fetus is in Metzias attacking the mother, and that is enough to license the death of that Roideh, the Ubar. But when we are up against a Nefesh Gomor, when the head is out against the mother, who is clearly a Nefesh Gomor against Nefesh Gomor, we will need a Tziruf of the Etzem Din Roideh plus the Chiyuv of Roideh, the culpability element within the building blocks of this din of Roideh. And therefore we can look through the lens of Reb Chaim, through the Reb Chaim spectacles, via the prism of the Rambam, and have a look at this Mishnah again. The ratio of the Mishnah, we can save the mother's life by ending the life of the fetus because of Roideh. The Yetzem Din Roideh is sufficient. Pekuach Nefesh will be insufficient and will not be powerful enough. We're going to have to use Roideh, but we only need one of the components because we're not up against Nefesh Gomor against Nefesh Gomor. It's a fetus which is a non-Nefesh Gomor. It's a Nefesh but not Gomor against a Nefesh Gomor. The Sefer of the Mishnah, Yotzer Ruboy, the majority has emerged. Ein Noigin Boy She'ein Doitin Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. We cannot touch the Vlad, we must stay out of the equation, because Ein Doisin Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. We cannot choose whose Vlad is redder, we cannot decide, we cannot play God, we cannot decide which life is more important. Why? Because at this stage, in order to have a license to end life, to end the life of this newborn child, we're going to need, number one, the Etzem Din of Roideh, and number two, the Chiyuv, the culpability. And we don't have that, because it's a little baby. Was the Rambam? There is no culpability here. It's just the nature of the world. Loshon of the Gemara, Mishumaya Koros Feilo. Shemayim is being Roideh the mother. We'll need both elements. And to conclude, maybe this will come out of the Loshon of the Rambam. When the Rambam writes that this fetus, which is not yet born, can be considered a Roideh, what does he say? Mipnei Shuhu Ka. Roideh acharei lo hergo. This fetus is like a Roideh. Did he say Roideh? Why did he have the chof in there? Perhaps he adds the chof because this is a textual license for the Reb Chaim. That at that stage we're not applying full Roideh with the chiyuv plus the etzem din. We're just applying the etzem din, and therefore the fetus before it's born can be described as Roideh, like a Roideh. It's using Roideh, but it's not applying both component parts of Roideh, and therefore we can understand the splitting of the atom done by Reb Chaim on the din of Roideh. I hope that the Mishnah has become more clear. Thank you.